the Unapologetically Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
As we talk about where do we go from here, we must honestly face the fact that the movement must address itself to the question of restructuring the whole of American society. There are 40 million poor people here. One day we must ask the question, why are there 40 million poor people in America? And when you begin to ask that question, you're raising a question about the economic system, about a broader distribution of wealth. When you ask that question, you begin to question the capitalistic economy. And I'm simply saying that more and more, we've got to begin to ask questions about the whole society. We are called upon to help the discouraged beggars in life's marketplace. But one day we must come to see that an edifice which produces beggars needs restructuring.
And you were listening to Dr. Martin Luther King's Where Do We Go From Here speech, delivered at the LCLC conference in the fall of 1967 as a prelude to our opening story.
Thousands of workers fighting for $15 an hour and union rights joined with racial justice activists in the movement for Black Lives to wage a 24-hour city fight racism, raise pay, protest on the 49th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination and the 50th anniversary of the civil rights icon's historic Beyond Vietnam speech.
The coast-to-coast protests culminate in a march by thousands of workers, national civil rights leaders, and politicians on the Lorraine Motel in downtown Memphis, which hold a memorial at the site of Dr. King's assassination.
In rallies, marches, vigils, and teach-ins. Across the country, leaders in the fight for 15 and movement for Black Lives highlight that the push for economic and racial justice remains as deeply linked today as when Dr. King was killed in 1968, supporting striking Black sanitation workers in Memphis.
The April 4th protests are the latest wave of defiance against the reactionary attacks on working people, people of color, women, and immigrants. Dr. King saw a common bond between the labor and civil rights movements and believed that union rights were fundamental to achieving racial justice. As King said in 1961, the most dynamic and cohesive liberal forces in the country are the labor movement and the Negro freedom movement. Together we can be the architects of democracy.
We're joined by Sepia Coleman, who has worked in home care for more than 20 years, yet she has never made more than $8.50 an hour. Sepia believes that if you work in health care, yeah, you should have health care benefits, and that all home care workers deserve the right to form a union. And Ashley Cathy from Memphis, who is slated to speak at a rally for 15 and will be the MC at the culmination of the march and commemoration of Dr. King at the Lorraine Hotel. And we welcome both of you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I want to start by, I just picked up, which annoyed me no end, an article today from Baltimore, the city's, now mind you, Democratic mayor, the city's Democratic mayor, vetoed a $15 minimum wage bill just last week. Now, of course, there are supporters that are saying it is time for the public to lobby their city council people to support an override of the measure. I don't think people really understand yet, and you're going to tell us, what it means to work year after year after year, and for example, Sepia, never having made more than $8.50 an hour. So tell us, what does it mean? What has it meant in your life?
Well, what it means to me is that I'm able to take care of things that I need to on a day-to-day basis. Making $15 is just a floorboard. I need to be able to take care of my personal hygiene. I need to be able to take care of my health care. just simple necessities of life. I'm not able to make those needs meet because I'm not making enough money.
Well, like what kind of things couldn't you take care of when you're making $8.50 an hour?
Living paycheck to paycheck, I have decided on basic hygiene products or my bills. Medical, I can't afford my surgery that I have to come. I have to come up with $1,000 by August to have this surgery that basically determines my livelihood. If I don't have this surgery, I probably won't be able to continue in this field, which I love.
Mm. And let me ask you, how does it affect your rent? Do you have a family? How does it act? How does that come into play? And we will certainly get to Ashley Cathy. But Sepia?
At this time, the worst thing to come is I have to pay payday loans. I have to borrow. Once I get paid, I have to pay the payday loan.
What's a payday loan?
A payday loan is like an advancement because you work. And basically what it is they... If you borrow $425, you have to pay $500 back. So the interest rates are really robbing us. But my bills have to be paid, and that's my only option.
And Ashley?
Well, she has a lot of things on the head. Like she said, $15 to me will not make me rich. I mean, it'll help me out in a long way because I don't get health care. Like she said, I have to pay for everything cash out of my pocket. Light bill expensive. Personal hygiene things are expensive. Car notes. Not only that, you got to think about the food that I eat. You got to think about the clothes and the shoes I have to buy for kids. School expenses, field trips. I mean, statistics say to take care of a child from the age that it is born to 18 is $1 million. I mean, and if I'm only making $7.25, which she make a dollar more than me, and I mean, I'm struggling even worse. So if I'm only making $7.25, how you expect me to live day to day when your corporation is making over $1 billion a day? I mean, not only should you pay your workers because you should want happy workers at the end of the day, but we run the restaurant. The CEOs don't run the restaurants. They're in the office all the time. We push the food out. We make the customers happy. The customers have to see us every day. The customer is giving us the money to give them the food. So they're not seeing the CEOs or any supervisors or DMs or anybody like that. They only see us. I mean, we make the money for the store, so why not pay us the money? And by me coming from Memphis and staying in Memphis, Tennessee, where it's much harder out here for black and brown people and immigrations, because at the same time, we're deep in the South. I mean, I always been hard out here. Look at Martin Luther King. He came here to sacrifice his life for the sanitation workers because didn't nobody want to help them. And at the end of the day, he lost his life. And he didn't have to do that, but he felt like he said, he had a dream in us. He had a dream that all of us would be equal no matter what color we are, you know, and he tried to make that dream come true. He did everything in his power to try to make sure that we was all united no matter what. And for him to do something like that, that makes me want to stay in the fight even more, you know, because, you know, he tried to make his dream come true and then by us being in modern-day slavery now, because that's what I call it, modern-day slavery, because we're still in slavery. I mean, I don't care who get mad. You can accept it how you want to. It's called modern-day slavery because we're working for a little or nothing, and we're still out here struggling at the end of the day. I mean, we're asking for these multi-billion-dollar corporations to pay us $15 because they have the money. They can do it.
Sepia, I just want to go back and tell us more about the actual nature of your work. Where do you hail from, and what's your work life been like, so we can really get people to feel what it means to have these miserable low wages? And I know that you're also getting lower hours.
I'm working three jobs just to keep my head above water, just so I won't be homeless. I work at Church's Chicken. I work at the Crown Plaza Hotel. I only make $9 at the Crown Plaza Hotel, and I just got that raise because they found out what I do with the Fight for 15. And so, you know, they like I'm a great worker, so they gave me the raise. But with this on another issue, and I work at a nightclub called Paradise. I shouldn't have to work three jobs. I barely get to see my brothers because I have custody of them now because my mom passed away 6 months ago. My mom was in the fast food industry all her life because here in the South, it's easier to get a job at a fast food restaurant than it is anywhere else. So I feel like we're being classified on that note because I have a sister. She has, like, 7 degrees in phlebotomy, LPN, all type of things like that, dental work. And her profession is still hard for her to get a job in it. And now she works 2 jobs. She works at churches and she works at Sonic. My whole family in the fast food industry because, like I said, it's quicker for us to get a job in fast food than it is anywhere else.
And we're listening to Ashley Cathy now.
CBS, yes, ma'am, from CBS. Memphis.
Also, you tell us more about yourself, just as Ashley did.
I wear several hats as a home care worker, a variety of domestic work, hygiene care for them. I do grooming, food preparation. I administer their meds. But the most essential part of my job is to provide them companionship. I am basically like their sister, their brother, their mom, their aunt, their grandmother. I'm the person that's there with them the majority of their life.
And Dr. King was uniting a number of different movements, the civil rights movement, the labor movement, and the anti-war movement. And this march takes off on that kind of bringing together of movements, in this case the Black Lives Movement, the Immigrants' Rights Movement, and the Labor Movement. Ashley, do you want to take off on that and talk about this march?
I mean, it all ties into the same thing, like I said earlier, about it don't matter about the skin color and things like that because we have poor white people, you know. It's about the people that's in power. We as people have to stand up and do something about it. Some people feel like it don't affect them because I'm comfortable, I'm okay. I mean, I make enough to get me by. That type of mind state, you will always be held back on a lot of things. And I feel like by a lot of people being uneducated on a lot of situations, like dealing with corporations like McDonald's, Wendy's, Popeye's Chicken, not even those, like home health care workers, I feel like, Cynthia said, they are the companionship. They deserve more money than fast food workers do, to be honest, because it's like at the end of the day, these people are leaving the earth, and this who they with every day, and they deserve more. It don't matter what type of profession you work in, pay your workers what they're worth, because we're worth more than what you pay us.
And Sepia, what do you think about tying the struggle for a higher wage to the issues raised, to the civil rights movement, to the movement of Dr. Martin Luther King? How do you feel about that?
Well, historically, domestic work has been always women of color. It wasn't until 2013 that home care workers received minimum wage pay as well as our overtime. We are overworked and unappreciated, and then as well as now. The racial justice would be working in a city with the majority of people of color not being forced to live in poverty, to not be passed up for a promotion on the job based on the color of their skin. And the economic justice would be continuing the vision of Dr. Martin Luther King that all hardworking Americans, such as myself, shouldn't be struggling in poverty to have a living wage and union rights. And the reason I'm marching is because I believe it's only right for hardworking Americans, like myself, to have a living wage and not to struggle in America, the land of the free and opportunity. This is what Dr. Martin Luther King believed in. And today I'm marching to see that vision through.
And what city, by the way, are you marching in?
Memphis, Tennessee, my hometown.
You're in Memphis. You raised and born in Memphis.
I was born in Memphis.
You think Memphis has changed since you were little?
Yes, tremendously.
Why?
To be honest, it has potential, but we have to get out of that modern-day slave mentality. I noticed that there's a lot of home care workers that are in fear of losing their jobs. But I speak to them and I say, what is it that you have to lose when you work in a state where they can fire you at any time at any cost?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like this. Nothing's going to change if you're not willing to change. It's like Frederick Douglass quoted. You want the harvest, but you don't want to put forth the effort and progress to make the harvest.
And Ashley, there's been another issue interjected into this campaign, that of police surveillance of movement workers, especially of McDonald's calling the shots for the police department in Memphis to surveil movement workers. You want to talk about that?
You know that most people that work in fast food industry are black or Mexican. 9 times out of 10, it's very rarely, certainly in Memphis, Tennessee, you will find a Caucasian working in fast food area. So our police officer, we feel like they're the biggest gang in Memphis because they are being bullied. They try to tell people not to come out to our protests. They say we are dangerous. They say we are gangbangers and we're out to lure the city. We had an accident where we had an action where I don't know if y'all was hearing about a lot of fast food workers protesting against Andy Puzzler. And so we was having an action here at Hardee's in Memphis, Tennessee, and we had the police harassing us, like, for a full week. The first day they started harassing us, we was having a meeting here at the office with a couple of leaders, and it was, like, 7 police cars. They was outside the office, and they was just, like, sitting, watching us, recording us, like, load up in our vans. They followed us to take workers home. We even had an incident where a worker was walking down the street and held on one of our jackets, and he said that the police pulled over, and they jumped out the car, and they slammed him on the ground and took all the stuff out of his pocket, did he have some marijuana and all type of things like that. They was bullying him. And he was like, they let him go because they didn't find anything on him. But you're making our workers terrified. They're terrified to come out on the strike line because they're constantly saying, like, the police harassing us. We have police sitting outside workers' houses. Like, when we had the action that morning at Hardee's, and the police officers followed us all that day, like, putting us in the middle, like it'll be one police car in the front, 2 on the side of us, 1 behind us. And if we split up, then they'll split up and follow all our vans wherever we went. And it got to the point where we just started jumping out the car, just recording them, like, why are y'all following us? And then they saying that they can't tell us why they're following us, but they got orders from their chief or their lieutenant to follow us. And we like, but if you're going to follow us, we need to know the reason why you're following us. You can't just tell us that you cannot follow us. So we recorded them, asking them, like, are your body cam on? Is your body cam on? You talking any kind of way, talking crazy to the workers and things like that. I just want to tell anybody, anywhere, not just here in Memphis, Tennessee, for the police department, other officers everywhere else, if you have a strong-minded person like me on the strike line, you're not going to intimidate me. I don't care what you do or how you do it. At the end of the day, if your fire burns like my fire burns, you're still going to be out there on that strike line, and you're still going to represent what you're out there for. Because we got to think about our ancestors got bit by dogs, sprayed by water hose. Some people even got set on fire. Still got hung, drugs, what about Emmett Till, things like that. So you got to look at what they went through was worse than what we're going through now. It's not really was worse at the time. It was worse at the time. But it's like we have a little power, but we're scared to use it.
Well, I hear that fire. I hear that fire. And part of that fire is about 15 and hopefully more money for workers to make.
Hold on. Can I say something?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Y'all always forget this one part. It's not always about the money, baby. We need our union.
That's where I was going. Say it.
You can give us that $15 and they can take that 15 right back from us. They can give us that $15 and they can snatch our hours right back from us. So we always say $15 with union rights. We need our union. We need that.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Now you folks are going to be in world sight when you are converging on the Lorraine Motel, that sad, terrible place where we lost Martin Luther King. So
yes.
the broad message, and particularly since you are primary organizers and marchers there, and my goodness, you're also, Ashley, you're an MC there. What are your feelings about that? What are the messages that you want workers to know around the country about the kind of things that you're doing?
The number one message is Martin Luther King had a dream, and we're still fighting that dream. And we're not going to stop fighting that dream no matter what. Like I said before, we're going to continue to do what we have to do to make sure the duty is done. I mean, not only that, I would like to also tell everyone, don't be afraid to stand up for yourself. And if you are, you have people like me that you can lean on and go to and talk to, and they'll stand up for you. I always thought that I was always out here by myself on situations when it came to my job, and not only just to my job, it's the economy period needing a raise. It's the community period needing a raise, because a lot of people fail to realize when you put money into people's hands, they spend that money. So the money would be recycled. You would get it back either way it go. I mean, look at all these fast food workers. They eat at their job all the time. So, I mean, they can't get the food for free. They got to pay for their food here in Memphis. I know we have to pay for our food at Church Chicken. I don't get no discount. I have to pay the full price like a customer pay the full price. So, I mean, you're going to get your money back. Not only that, we're going to spend the money among our city, whatever city we're in, at stores, with our rent, cars, all that. So, I mean, there's one thing like Martin Luther King said, if y'all can spend money on wars, y'all can spend money on putting monkeys on the moon, y'all can spend money on dumb machines and restaurants, but you will not put money into your employees' pockets. You will not put money for your employees to feed their children. Like, I want to speak on this incident. My mom worked at Wendy's. My mom worked at Wendy's for 4 years, but before she worked at Wendy's, she worked at other fast food places. She worked there ever since she was 14 years old. But to get what I'm saying, my mom died, and Wendy's didn't offer us a dime on my mom's funeral. At all. I mean, this goes back to say that these corporations don't care about their employees. They didn't try to send no flowers, no card, or anything. And she still didn't get her check. When we went to try to get her check, they didn't want to give it to her. Said she didn't have a check. And I know my mama went to work every day. Every day.
Well, you
so
are.
So that means you stealing her wages, and the only reason I didn't make a big issue about it because it's not about the money at the end of the day. And then plus I was still going through something because she had just passed away. But I was just making an example with it. Like, if we pass away today, or anybody pass away that worked for a fast food industry or home health care, they're not going to help pay for no funeral. We got to pay for that out of our pocket. Our family going to have to pay for that out of their pocket. So give us a raise. Give us what we deserve so we
and
can have money to put away.
And also to interject, Ashley, these Republicans keep talking about they don't want to give us 15 because it's too much money, but it will basically help us get off of these taxpayer dollars. We can get away from food stamps. We can get away from welfare. We can get away from all this unnecessary government attachment. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have dignity, and we can sustain ourselves without using the government. Nobody wants to live on welfare, Section 8, food stamps all their lives. That's not what the American dream is for. That is not what Dr. Martin Luther King fought for. His vision was for us to be free.
Absolutely.
And to be able to stand on our own two feet. And that's why I'm marching. Because the dream, we're still fighting every day.
Well, I'm excited. I am excited because we're going to get, with the kind of energy, with the kind of enthusiasm, with the kind of fire and the kind of resistance that you have talked about here today, all over the country this is happening, and we're going to get that 15, and we're going to get that union, and we're going to get more, because the workers are the ones who create all the wealth, right?
Yes, it's true. And it's not just home health workers, adjunct professors. I didn't know they get paid a little or nothing.
home health care workers, child care workers, we all need a livable wage. I mean, child care workers, they the one that babysit our kids while we got to go to work. They're the teachers for the day. They need a raise as well. Our teachers need a raise as well. They teach our children to be doctors, lawyers, and things like that.
Well, you're inspiring me. You're inspiring everyone that's listening, and we are going to fight for 15 in a union. We are going to make it so, and with your inspiration.
They need to stop looking at the fact of 15. 15 is a number.
Right. It's 15 is a number. You're right.
It's a number.
Right.
It's just enough to see our way through. It's just a number. Every job has dignity. We deserve a living wage. Nobody deserves to struggle. Nobody. It's not fair. That's not the American dream. That's not what we get up every morning to work hard for, to struggle. My dad said, if that man across the street had a Cadillac, why come you couldn't? And I believe in that. I can have just what you, just what the richest person has, why come I can't have it?
Well, again, you've excited me. You're absolutely right. And the 15 is just a number. We want a living wage. We want a living
wage. And union rights. We need the union.
And we need
that backbone. The union will protect us from being mistreated, working hours where we're not getting paid, where I work full-time hours with no full-time benefit. Wage theft.
Absolutely.
People don't understand that wage theft is real.
Well, I hope you're both going to come back and join us to tell us how the movement is progressing and also to celebrate when we make it so. We, the working class, people like you, people like Ashley Cathy from Memphis, people like Sophia Coleman from Memphis, we're going to get that living wage. We're going to take what our forefathers, our foremothers, we have created, which is all the wealth that this society is built on, and we're going to distribute it back to the workers, right?
Right.
By the way, the union too, right?
And the union.
Yes.
And
yes.
Union. Just one last thing. Is there any particular slogan that you're going to raise up tomorrow? Always like to go out with a chant or a slogan. Got one?
Come on. Unstoppable.
You're unstoppable?
I'm unstoppable.
Okay, we're going to have that as our slogan. Our sisters are unstoppable. 15 and a union, that's just the beginning. We want a living wage. I want to thank Sophia Coleman, a home care worker, and Ashley Cathy, both from Memphis, both part of the struggle for 15 and a union, and they are taking to the street to commemorate Martin Luther King because his legacy is in their soul, and that is to make economic rights the civil rights battle of the 21st century. Sisters, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay. They're unstoppable. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.